Life Management Science Labs would like to acknowledge that we live and produce this podcast on the traditional lands of the Wurundjeri people. We'd also like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the lands of our listeners and our international colleagues. We'd like to pay our respects to their elders, past, present, and emerging. Hello, everyone, and welcome to CeraBoost, the Happiness Science Insights podcast produced by LMSL, the Life Management Science Labs. We're champions of life management science, providing structured insights informed by science and inspired by practice on key aspects of conscious living. Each week, we bring you scientific and practical insights on each element with the expert knowledge of professionals in the field. I'm your host, Lu Ngo, coming to your ears from NARM, Melbourne, Australia. Let's learn together. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to CeraBoost. If you are tuning in real time, Merry Christmas. And today we are going to talk about a topic that probably people are struggling with a lot during this time of year, which is toxic positivity. We're going to explore it from the angle of trying to boost the holiday joy with authentic happiness, because, you know, toxic positivity can get into the way of authentic happiness, which is kind of a tough topic to discuss, but I am glad because we have Chris Prangy Morgan here today to discuss the topic with us. Chris is the author of the book Broken, Brave, and Bittersweet. She is a self-care advocate, trauma-informed authenticity coach, and a passionate connector. A limb loss and trauma survivor whose story has been featured on the Today Show, The Trauma Therapist Project, the Institute for Healthcare Improvement blog, and Amplitude magazine, Chris is on a mission to normalize interdependence and to use her story as a catalyst for personal, collective, and generational healing. Chris is a freelance writer and contributor for Psychology Today, Living with Amplitude, and other publications, including The Huffington Post. Thanks so much for joining us today, Chris.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, as I said, we are a little bit of a few weeks away from the Christmas holiday season. And, you know, it's still great to be able to talk to you about this. I think we were just discussing earlier, right? Everyone is getting ready for the holiday. So I think in a way, we're kind of like bracing ourselves for it already. So I think this topic today is super relevant. I'm not sure about the majority of our audience. I feel like they might be on the same boat as me and perhaps you. You know, I struggle with the holiday because it's supposed to be this joyful, festive season. But I struggle to enjoy that joyful and festive part of it most of the time. Because I think, you know, as the year has gone by, people have a lot to process. You know, they probably want to decompress, and it's not always about, you know, like feeling the high of the holiday. And sometimes people just need a little bit of downtime or, you know, time away from everything else to actually find authentic happiness. And this show is about happiness. So, you know, we're going to explore that very soon. Before we do that, I would love to ask you to share a bit more about your story because, you know, I just read your bio to our audience and it sounds amazing, but there's definitely much more to the bio than what is shown here. So I would love to get you to share a bit more about your journey, you know, personal and professionally speaking, and especially how you got here in your career.
Sure. Well, just a little addition to what you just shared. I live in Wisconsin in the United States. So when we talk about the holidays, very many of us that live in the Midwest are at the front end of our winter season, and our winter can be quite long. So so that's one aspect of, you know, trying to find happiness when it's dark here, for like expecting 4 months out of the year to be in this cold, kind of miserable time of season or time of year. So the holidays, you know, what a lot of us say when the holidays are done, then that's when it gets hard, right? So just to kind of put that out there that I'm in this part of the country. So a little bit about my story. I am a mom, an adoptive mother. And our children came into our family both as toddlers, adopted internationally. And my son in particular had quite a bit of trauma when he entered our family. And before bringing them into our family, I was a mental health professional. And I, even though I was a mental health professional, I was not really prepared for this trauma, attachment trauma that our son had. So our kids came into our family in 2007 and 2009. And I ended up suffering an accident because of unresolved trauma that I had in 2011, and then spent a year in the hospital and trying to understand all of the trauma that we had inherited, or that I was going through. So that time that I spent in the hospital, I was going through all these surgeries and things like that, and ended up having a below the knee amputation. And then after that, I just spent much time trying to understand what had happened and how my life had changed, and integrating really the losses of not just my own leg, but also my children's losses, and from their birth countries and their families of origin and those kinds of things. And to be honest with you, that wasn't very easy for me, because I had always been like, oh, the glass is half full kind of person. So I self-elected to do a hospital chaplaincy course just to learn how to maybe integrate some of my own inability to understand loss and grieving and the negative side of life, in order to have like a fuller experience of living and help my children to also integrate their experiences as well. So, yeah, so that's just kind of a nutshell version of a little bit about my story.
Mm, yeah. Well, thank you for sharing. I mean, it must have been really hard, you know, that time, because it seemed like a lot happened in, you know, a few years. And I think, you know, that's a lot to process. You know, I'm glad to hear, though, that you pull through and you're here now. The fact that you're here sharing your story with us, I think that's a true testament to a lot of great things that have happened in your life since then. You know, obviously, there's still that part that you need to process. And I think it's never going to be something you're just like, yeah, you know, it's all great. Which is, again, toxic positivity, right? There's loss, there's trauma, and there's happiness. You know, they're all there, and we'll navigate through all of them today, you know, through this journey with you in this conversation. So we'll get there soon, but we would love to get to know you even better. So we have this part we called Have You Met Chris? We're going to get some of your favorite things, just get to know what you like, and perhaps some of the recommendations that you would like to share with our audience. So my first question is, what is your favorite book?
I actually have two, maybe three.
Yeah.
One of the ones that I've been reading recently that's been really helpful to me, it's called Trauma Stewardship. I have it actually right here. An Everyday Guide While Caring for Self, While Caring for Others. It's by Laura Vandernoot Lipsky. And she talks quite a bit about how we can use the things we've been through to better understand the world around us and to be stewards of this trauma. So that one. And another one that is one of my favorites is called The Toward a Psychology of Awakening, Buddhism, Psychotherapy, and the Path of Personal and Spiritual Transformation by John Wellwood. And that has helped me to also integrate the learnings of trauma and being mindful in my own recovery journey. And then, of course, everybody loves Pema Chodron, When Things Fall Apart. That book has been super, super easy to just grab as a reminder of that this is the life journey, and how can we find joy amidst when things do fall apart.
Yeah. Well, thank you for being so generous and sharing two things with us, you know, two recommendations, not just one. I think both of those books are new to me. But yeah, I think they're kind of like different from what I generally read, but I'll definitely keep an eye out for those. Thank you for that. What is a movie that you have enjoyed recently?
Yeah, so recently on Netflix, there was a movie called Live to 100, Secrets of the Blue Zone. So have you heard of it?
Actually, another guest was just talking about it the other day.
Aha. Uh-huh. Yeah. It's a very good movie. It's very good. It talks about there's a man, Dan Boitner, I think is how you pronounce his last name. He goes to five different countries and he discovers what there are people in those countries that are all older. They lived like to over 100, and they have certain practices that they have used or utilized in their lives. And he interviews all these people, and a lot of them talked about like their dietary changes or their creating community and those types of things. So I really like that movie. That's been really good.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. And, you know, just sort of reiterating it. I think the other guest was on another show, not this show. So, you know, the audience of this show is still going to find this information to be new. I love that. So I wonder if you actually listen to any podcast yourself. And if you do, would you have a favorite?
Yeah. So NPR, there's a podcast called The Hidden Brain. It's fascinating to understand how the human brain works. I like that one. And also the On Being podcast with Krista Tippett. I don't know if you're familiar with that one, but it's very spiritually based. She has a lot of really good people on there that she interviews, people with interesting backgrounds. So those would be, I know it's hard to pick just one.
Yeah, definitely. It's hard, isn't it? Because there's so many good things out there, good content. The first one is definitely really popular, and I'm familiar with that. I'm not too sure about the second one. That sounds like a new thing for me. But thank you for sharing. The whole purpose of this is to learn new things. Now, next one, I would love to ask you if you have a role model or perhaps multiple role models. And if so, who are they?
Again, I have two. And interestingly, they're all men. And that just occurred to me right now. So the first one is Stephen Hawking. As a man who had ALS and was brilliant, I always wondered, like, how did he do it? How did he continue to find meaning and purpose living in this body that was betraying him and continue to contribute to the world with his scientific knowledge? And then the other person is Christopher Reeve, who had an awful spinal cord injury. And similarly, he continued to persist amidst his difficulties and challenges and contribute. And I work in rehab as a hospital chaplain as well. So I meet all kinds of people with spinal cord injuries and, you know, wondering how to forge ahead in the world given their new sets of circumstances. So, and then the other one is my father, actually. My father he grew up in a sort of an abusive family with a lot of challenges, and he was the youngest. And he just kind of kept forging ahead in his life. He was an athlete, and I'm genetically very much like him. He found his joy in being a baseball player or softball player and golf in his later years, and he didn't particularly like his job, but he kept doing his job to raise his family. And in a very quiet way, he just always had a sense of confidence that I really admired. So those are my three.
Ah, beautiful. All great figures there. Thank you for sharing. And then finally, in this part, we would love to get to know something that inspired you educationally. So what is a course you've completed that really inspired you?
Yeah, back when I was receiving a theology degree back in the 90s, there was this class called Spirituality and Human Development. And that was a course that I learned so much about. I learned about mindfulness, the dark night of the soul. There were different kinds of spiritual people that integrated both the dimensions of psychology and spirituality. Folks like Teilhard de Chardin with an understanding of eco-spirituality, Thomas Merton, who is a mystic of our times, a lot of Jungian spirituality. That was an amazing course.
Yeah. Wow. Those sound great. I mean, you kind of, I think I just try to connect the dot with what you shared earlier, you know, when you talked about books and podcasts, and I'm kind of like, oh, there's like a theme of, you know, what you enjoy and, you know, what inspire you. So that's really good to know. Definitely, we've gotten to know you much better. So, you know, lots of like, I think it's like an infusion of science and spirituality from what I can hear, which sounds wonderful. I think it's like a nice balance. And today we're here to talk about, again, the topic of toxic positivity. I think this is actually a topic that would definitely need the balance of science and spirituality at the same time. So this is the perfect opportunity to discover it from this aspect. And the show is about happiness. You know, we're talking about the holiday. And if our audience is listening in real time, it is Christmas season, which means, you know, lots of feast, lots of hanging out with family and friends, and there'll be the new year coming soon. And I think this time of year is particularly a time where, you know, we all reevaluate our happiness, right? Our life in general, and then particularly our level of happiness. So I would love to hear from you, you know, what do you think happiness is? And also, because this is a sort of a special holiday episode, I would love to also hear what your thoughts are on, you know, this concept of happiness when people start to talk about it during the holiday.
Yeah. So for me, I know for everybody it's different, but I've found that happiness is a non-striving contentment in the present moment. Finding gratitude in the now, even in the small things, finding quality time with loved ones, finding a sense of fulfillment, and knowing that this particular moment is all that we have, and really relishing that, which can be a catch-22. And I have to admit that, because I've always been a planner, and even with the writing of my book, like, it took 4 years to write, and you're always like planning the next thing and trying to get there, but you're never fully there, so you're never fully present, right? So for me, happiness is taking a look at, where am I now, and how can I find joy right here? And again, back to that catch-22, the book by M. Scott Peck, The Road Less Traveled, he begins by saying that life is difficult. And then he proceeds to talk about when he was on a vacation with his wife in Hawaii, I believe, and they looked forward to this wonderful vacation, and it rained the whole time. And that's kind of how life can be, right? Like, how many times have we planned for this wonderful vacation? Sometimes it's wonderful, or even the holidays, right? Sometimes it's wonderful, and then something might happen. And so for me, happiness is finding, you know, joy in the small things. It could be petting my cat. It could be walking out into the beautiful sunshine. It can be a warm bath. It can be talking with a loved one that you haven't talked to in a while. It's those things that, you know, I guess when I look at life now versus 10 years ago or even 20 years ago, before I did the work that I've been doing, acknowledging that this moment is never going to happen again, right? These loved ones that are here with me, tomorrow's not promised. So I'm going to enjoy as much time with them as I can.
Yeah.
I know that's powerful, right?
No, I really love that. That's just beautiful, because when you were talking about, you know, the little things that you enjoy, in my brain, there's this movie that plays with, you know, all the little things that I enjoy. And also, you know, agreed, you know, tomorrow's not guaranteed. You know, we might not be here. Our loved ones might not be here. We don't know what's going to happen. You know, and we would, when we were starting to talk earlier, I did sort of briefly mention, like, there's a loss in my extended family, and it's been extremely sad for us. And, you know, this holiday season is kind of like, you know, I miss having that person around, you know, when we do the family gathering, or, you know, I miss just hearing about how that person is progressing, and now they're not here anymore. So There's none of that. So, you know, the little things that could be sort of, I probably say, like, sometimes, especially when it comes to the holiday, sometimes the little things can be annoying, especially when it comes to family. Like, they would ask you to, you know, explain a story three times, or they would feed you too much food and they wouldn't let you go. And, you know, all these little things, they actually make up our happiness, even though they are a little bit annoying sometimes. And I think that's the beauty of this season, when you reflect on all that you actually do have and be grateful for even the things that might annoy you from time to time. And I think it is a really interesting notion when you think about it, because today we're here to talk about toxic positivity and authentic happiness, right? I think you just shared your definition of your own authentic happiness, and it's nothing grand. It's you know, just little things there. And I think when it comes to this season, a lot of people, they start to talk about, like, you know, achievements of the year, which is wonderful. They might start to talk about plans for the future, which is also great. But I do notice something that tends to happen, at least in my extended family, during the holiday. And, like, you know, we don't celebrate Christmas per se, but I want to use the holiday in general as like a theme, as a reference point, to say that it's kind of like, everything needs to be great, you know, like all the topics around the dinner table, or, you know, like when we meet, it all has to be like this great thing, like, oh, this is amazing, or that is wonderful. But, you know, I do think that it's not that. It should be a combination of all of that, right? Because especially with your story and your background, you talked about, like, how much you've been through. I think you would probably agree that, yes, we are positive and we talk about, you know, positive things, but it doesn't mean that we need to avoid talking about tough topics during the holiday season just because it's, like, it's supposed to be festive.
Yeah. Right. Right. I'll never forget the time that we showed up at my parents' house when I was, like, in college, and they brought out their power of attorney for healthcare forms to discuss what we want to do if they were incapacitated and couldn't make decisions for themselves. And I remember saying, oh, are you kidding me? Like, this is the worst time ever to talk about this. It's a downer. But now that I work in healthcare, I'm finding that I tell people to have those conversations because you just don't know. And that at least you know, like, you know what your loved one's wishes are. I mean, it does feel sort of like a downer, but you know, you're right. It's all part of the human existence.
Yeah.
Is, you know, to talk about things that are important to us and really to experience love, like the love of those who have been with us for, you know, all of our lives. I mean, to just relish that that attention that we can give one another, and that's where the gift is, you know, it's presence versus present.
Yeah, definitely. I really love that we are talking about this because, you know, obviously we've heard a lot of misconceptions about happiness on this show, but I think particularly when it comes to the holiday, like, I really love that you said, you know, that we need to discuss all of the things that happen in our lives. That's the whole point. And maybe sometimes something might sound a little bit like a downer, but it's important, you know, and when is the better time to do this? You know, you have the holiday to reflect, to connect, and to discuss these things. And, you know, that's actually a really good point, because I remember last year I visited my family for the holiday, and I was kind of like hoping for a really fun time. So this is all also my personal misconception back then. I was like, you know what, like, it's going to be fun and great. It's a holiday. My uncle sat me down. He was like, look, we've talked about, you know, our resting places, you need to sign some paperwork, you know, I mean, welcome home, but sign the paperwork before you go. I was kind of like, okay, that is a little bit too much for me, because I was expecting fun and game and everything. But now that, you know, we're having this conversation, and I look back at it and I think, you know, it's actually a very, really important topic. And I appreciate my family for talking about these things and making these arrangements and being open and honest about it, because they're just helping us, you know, the next generation. And in a way, it was actually a really good thing that they did, but I was just a little uncomfortable to talk about it because it was kind of like, you know, like I was expecting a good time. So yeah, it's kind of like it adds to the spectrum of happiness, but it was hard to see. So that was definitely fascinating. Now we're here to talk about toxic positivity. So I would love to hear from your perspective. What does toxic positivity actually mean?
Yeah. So toxic positivity is this idea that negative thoughts and feelings have to be avoided at all costs. It's sort of the idea that if you have the right attitude all the time, or, you know, right attitude means, you know, thinking positive, that should keep at bay any negative feelings or thoughts or any negative experiences. And as a person with a disability who works with people with newly acquired disabilities, I find that can be really harmful for people who are legitimately struggling with where they are in their lives. And it can create, toxic positivity can create barriers in relationships as well, when, say, one spouse tells the spouse that has a changed life circumstance, maybe a chronic health condition or chronic pain or a disability, it can invalidate their experience. Or, for example, my children, both of whom are adopted, like every Mother's Day, there's the implicit loss of their birth families and their birth cultures and their, you know, everything they once had known. And even though they don't remember that, they're still, it's always there. So I'm of the belief that if you push things under the surface, they're going to come out somehow. And so rather than pretending that those difficult things aren't there, we just are open to discussing them. So for example, the patients that I work with, I will say, you know, have you talked about how hard this time of year is for you, when, like, it might be really hard to go places fast because now they have a wheelchair that they have to use, or, you know, doing things in the same way is a challenge. So to discuss that with the people in their lives who probably wouldn't know, because we don't know what we don't know, right? So, you know, like this idea that the only disability in life is a bad attitude. Like, I think it was Scott Hamilton that said that. It was, or some, an ice skater or something. You know, at first I thought, well, what's so bad about that? Because there are certainly people who have negative attitudes who just kind of camp out in negativity, and you can't hang out there. But if you don't at least acknowledge that things can be hard, it makes it almost more difficult. I can speak about this as a person who does continue to suffer with some chronic pain after the accident that I had. I will notice within myself, the more I just like soldier through, like I'll be preparing like a dinner or something, and I'll be chopping vegetables and in the kitchen, and then all of a sudden my back will hurt, and I just think I can push through. And then I have to tell myself, Chris, it's okay to take a break, right? You can just rest, and that's okay to take a rest. And it doesn't mean you're a bad person or you're weak. And you just live in a different body. Give yourself permission. And that gives me the permission to be happy in a different way. It's not like you will enjoy this day and you will make this meal fun, because if I didn't acknowledge how hard it is, I'd be in pain. So, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. Totally agree with you. You know, there's just, there are so many layers of and levels of how this can play out for different people. And I think for yourself, you know, having been through trauma, having been through loss, and, you know, dealing with a really unique situation, you have that level of empathy that would be able to kind of translate to a lot of other people's circumstances. And I think, you know, a lot of people in the audience might relate with this. Some of them might not, you know, because our life circumstances are different. But I do think that acknowledging whatever it is that's going on in our lives that are tough is an important thing. And especially when it comes to this time of year, I do think that while uplifting conversations are great, conversations with depth are the ones that are going to actually help you to go further and, you know, really touch your soul and really help you to nourish after a year of, you know, could have been a great year for some people, but it also could have been, an extra tough year for others. So, you know, being able to have these kinds of conversation is important. And I think with toxic positivity, it's also this thing where the more aware we are, the better we are going to be at, you know, in our interactions with other people and bring out, you know, more happiness in others, because there's that level of understanding, there's that level of empathy. And I think that is so important, because in this season, a lot of people tend to rush, you know, because they have so many things they have to go to, they kind of rush from one thing to another, and they just forget to take a moment to actually stop and think, oh, you know, like, it might not have been that great for this friend that I'm talking to, or, you know, that family member, and not everything is great. So it might just be a time to mellow down a bit and really get into depth. I think that's how I would see it.
Yeah, I totally agree that empathy for self, empathy for others, knowing that we're all dealing with these expectations, right? Like, there's all this music. It's the most wonderful time of the year, you know. Anytime we have these big extremes, where these extremes are trying to engender these emotions, right? Where, like, we want to be experiencing the most wonderful time of the year, and we put up the lights, and we those things help. I mean, I love them. You know, I love all the bright, you know, whatever, you know, all the Christmas and Hanukkah, and, like, I love all the things. But it also helps me to realize that, you know, there's always, like, the reverse as well. So if you're here and you're trying to reach this, then you're going to probably swing back, like, after, you know. And I always have to keep in mind that, you know, like, I remember when we were buying our house, the stager told me that, or when we were trying to sell our house, excuse me, she said, what we want to do is we want people to have a feeling when they're in your house so that they have to buy this house. And I think about the holidays and how people want that feeling in purchasing and buying things, right? And I think about how that contributes to consumerism and, you know, and all of those negative things that are really hurting our planet, is, you know, thinking that we have to have these things to be happy. When really, if you think about it, how often is it that that thing keeps us feeling happy, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I do agree. And, you know, that's another aspect of our happiness, right? Like, we tend to look for things. But I think a lot of people who, if they're tuning into this show, I'm sure they would understand and they would relate with the fact that things don't really add to happiness. Experiences do, you know, little things that we enjoy in life would add to our happiness. And I think that's a really good point that you made, because, you know, now that I think about it, another aspect of toxic positivity in the holiday is, like, people start talking about these big things, you know, like, oh yeah, like, you know, we got this house, this car, these things, promotion, etc. They all sound great. You know, and I think it's definitely something to celebrate. But also, there needs to be a bit more of celebration on other fronts of our happiness. So what I mean by that is, for example, this person went through loss or trauma, and it took them months or years to feel like themselves. congratulations on that, you know? Great progress there. You know, how are you holding up with that? How's your heart? And I think that's so important. That's not a kind of conversation that I know for a fact that for my family, we don't have that kind of conversation. It's just like an achievement of things, like things you can see, things you purchase, you know, getting a promotion, those sorts of things are celebrated, but never like a progress when it comes to, you know, personal growth. And I think that it's something that we probably neglect. And, you know, tough things like, for example, you going through your trauma and, you know, processing it and being able to get to a place where you finally feel okay, or, you know, even for your children, right? Like it's so hard. And then people just tend to kind of stray away from those topics because it's kind of hard to talk about. And I totally understand that. But I think we all need to learn. And that's kind of the key of this conversation here. I guess a big aspect of it, and I'm also learning, not great at this either, because sometimes I might say thing I didn't mean, or, you know, I might say thing without really think about how the other person's feeling. I have made the mistakes a few times with friends, and, you know, of course I apologize, but I think we all need to learn it. And the key here would be, how can we actually do that? You know, how do we navigate through this trap of toxic positivity? Because we don't want to be a downer, you know, when we're kind of like enjoying this holiday season with friends and family. We do want to bring joy and boost happiness, but we also don't want to get into that trap of toxic positivity. So finding that balance, I find to be quite hard. So how would you say we can try to kind of find that balance when we're, you know, in the holiday spirit?
Yeah. I think it's important to, I like to look at things through the lens of addiction, and I'm not talking about, you know, substances per se, although it could be drugs or alcohol or shopping or whatever. But I think when I think about addiction, it's our way of trying to fill a hole that or run away from challenges or difficulties. And so we don't want to go to that place. So we, you know, we go shopping, you know, or we, you know, we take a drink or whatever. And to be okay with, to not going to that thing that to make us feel better all of a sudden, and to maybe just allow ourselves to go there to, like, you know, if somebody, we have a lot of people in our family right now with health problems as well. Some people may not make it to the holidays. I don't know. I mean, that's where we are in our lives, where, you know, we're middle age, you know, we have children that have left for college, and we have aging parents. And so I think it's important to acknowledge that, you know, again, those extremes, you don't have to go to like hang out in the dumps. You can realize that, you know, this happened, we had this bad thing happen, but you know, we can celebrate the fact that we're together right now. We can celebrate the sun, you know, shining. We can celebrate just the fact that we're alive, or, you know, to look at just, I don't know, to try to avoid the extremes of, oh, I have to have this hedonistic pursuit of pleasure at all costs. And if I'm not on that mountaintop, if I'm not getting that raise, and if I'm not like the perfect person, that is okay. Because and I think about striving too, along with that concept of addiction. You know, if we keep striving to fill that void, we're never going to feel content, right? And I think what we look for is contentment. Yeah, I think that's it. I think that we need to look toward contentment rather than, you know, always looking for that, you know, that perfect situation.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's no perfect, right? What is perfect anyway? Because it's kind of like this whole mirage that people put up. It's kind of like, oh, you have to have this or that, or, you know, do certain things for your life to be perfect and great. But we all know that perfect doesn't exist. You know, there's always something that we need to work on. And I think, you know, the concept of addiction that you just mentioned there is actually quite important to grasp. And I think that the toxic positivity in the holiday tends to bring that out a bit more, actually. So if we can all, you know, be a bit more compassionate and focus a bit more on that contentment side, it will reduce it. And what I mean by that is, you know, when you're around the dinner table with friends or families and then everyone starts to talk about all these amazing things, you kind of feel like, oh, am I behind? And they're trying to overcompensate for it by whatever it might be, right? It could be like what you were saying. It doesn't have to be substance addiction. It could be something else. Each person has their own coping mechanism, and that can bring out something really bad. It could be like, oh, you don't feel great, so you're just gonna be on the couch for 15 hours watching TV shows instead of doing anything productive, and that's also bad for, you know, for your happiness and for your health. There's so much in this holiday season, and I think from my perspective, you know, I'm actually moved away from home about 5 years ago, so I haven't had, like, you know, holidays with families for a while. I had holidays with my family last year, and I was kind of like, oh, I miss this, but I kind of don't. And then I came back here, and I talked to one of my best friends who, you know, whose family is sort of who she's kind of not on speaking terms with them, and so the holidays to her are really, really tough, like extremely tough. So when I think about that, you know, I think about the fact that each person has their own circumstance and no one's life is the same. And so it's really hard to kind of say, you know what, this holiday is all going to be about joy and, you know, like it's all going to be about like these great things. And for yourself in particular, I also know that, you know, the book that you wrote, you know, Broken, Brave, and Bittersweet. I think that book delves into the concept of trauma as well. So I was thinking about my friend and, you know, the book that you wrote, and I see that, you know, trauma can have a really huge impact on people's happiness, especially during this season. It hits harder than before because, you know, even if for me, it was like, oh yeah, like I'm away from my family, I'm a little sad, but it's so different from, oh, you know what, I'm not even on speaking terms with my family. Like I don't have anyone to celebrate the holidays with. I don't even know what I'm going to do in the holiday. So the holidays depress me. Lots of things can happen. And it's really hard to navigate through this. So when it comes to trauma, this is actually a really tough topic to talk about because a lot of people just don't have the language to talk about it. They don't have the understanding. But given that you've had so much experience in this area, you have a whole book on it. Could you please help us to share a bit more about this, you know, when it comes to authentic happiness, especially because I think this time of year is when people struggle with trauma the most, because, you know, for them, it might just be something extremely hard and they just cannot get over it to find any kind of joy whatsoever.
Yeah. Yeah. So, some tips that I have kind of learned by necessity over the years to try to keep things somewhat joyful or to find joy or contentment. I mean, is first of all, I like to think about keeping things simple. And like I said earlier, you know, finding joy in moments, in those small moments that may be fleeting, but and it's a mindfulness practice, really. I mean, a lot of what I'm talking about is mindfulness. It's learning how to be fully, fully present with what's going on and not wishing for things to be different, and just being appreciative and grateful for what is right here and right now. So I talked also about, you know, presence, giving the gift of yourself to those around you and your ability to listen to them with everything they have to share, not just the positivity. I mean, honestly, like, I think people need to hear the good and the bad, and to know that we're not wanting to skip over the hard stuff because we have a hard time hearing it, because it's a gift for them to be able to share what it's like for them. I have a mother-in-law with lung cancer and problems with breathing, and it's really, really hard for her. And we're having to, you know, rethink this year how we're going to make the holiday enjoyable for her. And that's a gift that we we give to anybody that might have a health problem. My father has issues with balance, and he has some chronic back pain. So, you know, it's not like we're going to be able to just go along with things as normal, because things are just different. You know, our daughter's coming home from college. So, and having that perspective of gratitude for time together. I also think it to be able to start a tradition of telling your loved ones what you love about them. You know, honestly, like, those are the types of things that other times of the year we take for granted. Like, I don't tell my loved ones what I love about them. So that is the time to do it. And I also think something as simple as, you know, putting away your phone, you know, over the times where the people in your environment mean a lot to you, you don't want to be responding to, like, you know, social media posts and,
absolutely.
You know, yeah. I mean, it sounds easier said than done. I mean, I know we are a multitasking generation, but I think it's taken us out of being present. Mm. And especially for the aging, are the elderly people in our lives, they don't get that, you know, they don't understand. I mean, and I'm bad. Like, it's a practice for me. I have to remind myself that, you know, my parents that are in their 80s really don't understand this little gadget. Like, so those are some suggestions.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you're so right, because it's part of awareness, right? If we are not aware, then we might slip up. We might not pay attention to what is being said, or, you know, how we're responding. And that is just a recipe for disaster, especially when you're trying to, you know, navigate through this really tough thing of, okay, am I positive enough, or am I just toxically positive? So I think it's kind of like, yeah, we really have to be present. It's funny, because when you talked about that, I just started to think about, you know, what we do around the lunch or dinner table during the holiday. And I realized a lot of people in our family, from the previous generation, like my mom, dad, uncles, aunties, they would talk. They would just, you know, look at one another and talk. No one has their phone in their hand. Probably they use their phones to take photos and that's it. But our generation, you know, like the younger generation, everyone has their phone on the table. And then, you know, I don't know if it has changed, but I remember even my nieces and nephews, they all have one iPad each. And that's just how we communicate. And that's barely communication, you know, in the holiday. Like, it needs to be a bit more meaningful. But I also guess that's a whole other topic in itself, right? Like, how to have meaningful conversation during the holiday. It's actually quite tough, because some people are just kind of like, I don't know how to connect with these people. I don't want to open up. I don't want to talk about anything serious. I'm just here, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. But, and you're right. You do have to be careful, because, like, even when we do have all of our family around, the elderly among us, we're talking about, like, looking at dying, you know, because honestly, like, you're starting to think about the years ahead. And my daughter said, oh, this is depressing being here with you people, you know? So then I had to kind of act as a buffer. And then I kind of changed the conversation to the things that are exciting for her, as she's a new freshman in college. And, you know, and then that helped the older generation to, like, get out of their sort of angst about end of life stuff and, like, live through my daughter's world and be excited for what she's embarking upon. And that, you know, that's beautiful when you can do that, you know, when another person's joy can give you joy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I think that's beautiful. It's definitely tough to navigate, but yeah, it is a beautiful thing that you just mentioned there. Because I guess if we can all find the balance, then we bring joy to one another. You know, we just add to one another's happiness. It's tough though, because, you know, sometimes one person could be super aware and then the rest are just kind of like, yeah, you know what? That's not really a thing. We don't care. They don't even know. I think the most important thing about this conversation is the fact that most people are just not aware about the fact that it is a thing. once they are aware, I'm sure they can take steps. You know, awareness is always the first step of any journey, right? So, yeah, definitely an interesting time. Now, we've covered quite a bit of information there. You know, we've touched on happiness, toxic positivity, trauma, how to navigate through all of this. But some of our audience members might start to wonder, okay, so what do I do now? You know, like you've given me a bunch of information. What do I actually do? So let's get into the practice part. And for those who are kind of struggling, they might be new to understanding toxic positivity. They might still find it hard to navigate being positive enough to be festive in the holiday while not being in the trap of being, being caught in toxic positivity. So for those that are super new to this and just don't know what to do, what is a practice that you would recommend they can try? Something that is super small and simple that maybe everyone can pick up.
Yeah. So it goes back to being mindful. I mean, so much of my healing journey goes back to mindfulness. And I know that's become a buzzword over the years, you know, mindful everything, you know, it sounds woo-woo. But I do think that being mindful is a way of opening yourself up to the whole human experience, not just the good, but the bad as well. Because when you understand that life is so precious and fleeting, then you can really enjoy the time that you, the present moment, right? So in a way that I like to remember that, and this kind of goes back to my father, as being an athlete, and I've been an athlete for years, which kind of relates to my accident, but I won't get into that. He kind of taught me how to get out of my head and into my body. So like when, you know, how our thoughts can kind of take over sometimes. I think that there are times where if you're stuck in your head, you can do a yoga practice, or you can exercise, or any kind of self-care activities. Sometimes even cooking, wrapping presents. I mean, there are ways where you can just get to doing something that is outside of yourself, others focused, you know? So I think that those things can help you be in the present moment and be mindful. So yeah, those are the best things that I can think of. Yeah. And being grateful. I think being grateful, I mean, that I know that's a buzzword too, gratitude, but it really does shift your perspective when you're looking at what you have versus what you don't have. I mean, we could go in like a whole different direction about how we like when we do have things, we take that for granted. that we always think we should have more than what we do have. And then that scarcity mindset can take over. And I think that that's the root of so many problems too. Like, I don't have that thing, so I have to get that thing, when we can be content with what we have. And it's interesting. I spent some time in the 90s in Guatemala, just because I wanted that life experience, and spent time with people who had dirt floors and huts, and their families were, I remember thinking, the families here are so much more connected and grounded in like a healthy lifestyle than what I was remembering back in the States at home, where kids would like have tantrums because they couldn't get a candy bar in the checkout lane or whatever, you know? So it's really a matter of perspective. And I think shifting our perspective to really appreciate what we have is a big part of, you know, grasping that happiness, that true happiness.
Mm. Yeah. So a lot of what you're saying and sharing is basically quite tightly related to the gratitude practice, right? And there's so many ways to go about it. But I think doing activities that are other focused, I think is also sort of like the spirit of the holiday anyway. Actually a lot of people, I think, struggle with this because they're kind of like, oh, gosh, it's Christmas. I have to get gifts for everybody. Okay, I'm going to get so stressed out and things like that. But I think if we kind of tweak it in a way where it's kind of like, okay, you know, like, this is my opportunity to give thanks to people that I love and people that I appreciate, then it's going to be so different, right? Yeah. And I think that's just kind of like a different change in perspective, just like what you were saying earlier. It's nothing grand, you know, it's not like you have to kind of sit down and be like, okay, I'm going to do this, but more so, you know, when you start to do any sort of planning or anything for the holidays, kind of like, oh, okay, you know what, this is nice. I get to give thanks to people that I appreciate. Reframe the thought a little bit and it'll be so much more fun. And that's what I actually enjoy about this season. You know, as I said earlier, I don't really celebrate Christmas per se, but, you know, I still like to give my friends gifts because kind of like, oh, you know, like I'm celebrating our friendship and, you know, it's just great.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's that spirit of generosity, I think. And that can get lost sometimes, you know, where it's a generosity of spirit.
Yeah.
That really comes through at that time. And,
absolutely.
You know, yeah. And I wish that generosity would continue all year, where mm-hmm. people would just not think about things in terms of like, oh, well, if I give you this, that's less for me, you know, or, I mean, we talk about money and finances and that kind of thing, but I mean, it's not just about that. It's about, ourselves and how much we give of ourselves. I mean, I work in healthcare and I see giving wonderful people, and my husband works in education, and, you know, giving people all year long. And then over the holidays, you know, we get all these nice things from people like patients and families and whatever. And that's wonderful. But I think it would be even better if we got little notes all year long about like, oh, I really like that thing you did. That meant so much for me. You know, I try to do that. I try. It's yeah. hard to remember because we all need to hear how we impact other people, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think if we focus on the good side of this, and it's going to be a great thing to do. And I remember in one of our previous podcasts, we talk about, there's a guest that came and talked about all the thank you letters that she wrote. And I feel like if we look at it and reframe it that way, it's not like, oh, you know, I have to do all the gifting and, you know, things this Christmas. Preparing a card that actually, you know, points out, you know, how much that person means to you, along with, you know, probably a small gift that means something. It's great. It doesn't have to be anything that's kind of fancy, because I don't know about other people, but I just really appreciate cards in general, like words that people give me. It's kind of like, oh, it's this, this confirms how I felt about that person, or, you know, like what I have done for them. And sometimes I don't even remember what I did for other people. So it's kind of like, it's a nice thing to reflect on. So yeah, I guess a lot of our audience would enjoy that too. So thank you for sharing that. Now, we are towards the end of our conversation and we've got open mic. So as I said earlier to you, this is your chance to talk about anything that you are passionate about and you would like to share with our audience. I think you vaguely mentioned something that you thought you would like to share about, but I feel like we might have covered that. I'm not sure if you still want to go there, but yeah, the floor is all yours.
Gosh, I can't remember what that was, but... that's okay. We've kind
that's
of been
okay.
Something that came up in my mind too is we talked a little bit about like screen time and the idea,
oh, yeah.
You know, the possibility of having sensory overload, because like we are bombarded with images all yeah. day long, and some of those images can be wonderful and uplifting, and others can be really hard to see. And, you know, we have, you know, right now we have the war in Israel, and that's really hard. And there's you know, I get these New York Times articles that are sent to me, and I just, I had to like stop reading them because they were hurting my heart. You know, I felt like I can't see these. I mean, there's so much, there's just a lot of bad stuff that's happening in the world. But then I'll see like another person who is like, you know, traveling in some beautiful place, and I'll think, oh, that's wonderful. And it makes me want to do that too, right? So all these things, like I realized, and this sounds bad, I'm not saying that we need to stick our heads in the sand and not see what's happening around us. But there are times that seeing all those images isn't helpful to me, because it takes me out of the present moment, and it makes me feel like I don't have all that I need right here. Like I have to go on a trip to be happy. That's a big one for me. I keep thinking, well, I need to have a trip, especially in Wisconsin winters. I want to go somewhere sunny. But then if I kind of reel myself back in, and I'll be like, you know, I'm a big cat person. I have these fluffy kitties, and I'll just kind of pet my cat, and I'll sit in front of the fireplace, and they'll purr, and I'll think, I want to be like my cat, right? Because that purring is like a contentment, right? And I feel like, you know, if we all could just be more like cats, right? That wasn't what I had meant to talk about, by the way.
No, but it's great because I love cats. So thank you for that. That's great for me to hear. I have this mental image in my brain. And I'm kind of like, yeah, you know what? I would love to be that too. That's all I want to do this holiday. No trip needed. But yeah, a trip would be nice. But no, I think that's a great thing that you point out there. You know, probably something that a lot of people struggle with right now. So I guess it's kind of this time to just take a second to be aware of how we're all feeling and what is best for each of us, without, you know, forgetting about what's going on in the world. But, you know, like this kind of sensory overload is definitely something that we should look out for during the holiday season, because I know that I get so overwhelmed during the holiday. So yeah, this is definitely really helpful. So thank you for coming on and sharing all these amazing things with us. And for our audience, we'd like to find out more about your work. Where should they go?
Yeah. So I have a website. It's Chris Prangy Morgan. Prangy Morgan does not have a hyphen. Chris, ChrisPrangyMorgan.com. I also write for Psychology Today, and I write about toxic positivity and other family-related and trauma-related topics there. And Instagram, Facebook, anywhere like that, LinkedIn, I can be found there.
Amazing.
And thanks for the work that you're doing. I think this is a great podcast, and the Center for Happiness Studies is like, it's amazing that I think it's a great avenue to pursue and to study more about, because it is such a complex, interrelated discipline.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we could have done it without you. So thank you for being here and helping us to spread the word and understand happiness a bit more. Hopefully we'll have you back some other time.
Yeah, that would be great. Thank you so much for having me.
You have been listening to Sarah Boost, the Happiness Science Insights podcast produced by the Happiness Science Labs, a division of LMSL, the Life Management Science Labs. More episodes are available from 10 life management perspectives and can be found by searching LMSL on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and other podcasting apps available on your devices. If you enjoyed this episode, please rate, share, and subscribe to our channel so that other people can find it and we can continue to provide quality content. More of our work can be found on our website, ha.lmsl.net, where you can join our movement. I'm Lu Ngo. Thanks for tuning in.